Wine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
We're back. Just about, I'll call it 8 minutes into hour three. And before we get Tom Law in here, there was one thing that we needed to do. I've been holding the note so that we could pay tribute to Eddie Brown. And Bruce is joining us, his nephew. And for those that saw the note, I guess the obits and the notice came late in the winter, early spring, that that Eddie had passed, and 85 years old, had spent his entire life on the racetrack. More than Bruce is with us. Bruce, hi, good morning. How long was your uncle on the racetrack?
Well, I mean, he tells stories from as far back. I mean, just that, you know, his whole life. I mean, just he's got stories. He had some of the best stories. Sometimes he would tell them. You know, you'd hear them 3, 4, 5 times, but you never stopped them. They were always so good. You could hear it a few more times.
You know, in terms of his experiences, you know, started as a exercise rider.
Yeah. He started out galloping horses. You know, back in the old days with no helmets, no nut, you know, just a pair of boots and jumped on, and he had great stories.
He worked for Lefty Nickerson. He worked for Frank Wright, among others, as an assistant later on, and then started in at the association in 1972 as a valet. And Jerry Bailey, Steve Coffin, Pat Day, and Jose Santos among the you want to talk about a Hall of Fame four pack? That's about as elite as it gets.
Yeah, I forget the exact number, but Jose Santos told me, I guess there was one year in the Breeders' Cup where I think they, between Santos, Bailey, and Day, they might have won like 7 of the Breeders' Cup races or something crazy, and Eddie had all of them, so he definitely had some of the best.
Unbelievable. The reason we bring this up today specifically, and I wanted to make sure to get this in, they're going to honor Eddie today. Third race, I think?
Yes. Yeah. So, and it seems it's a little steamy out here, but it doesn't seem as hot as they were saying it might be. They were saying high 90s, but it seems like we might not get totally blasted out with the heat. But yeah, third race is going to be run in his honor.
Well, and you'll see, you know, sometimes they the camera lingers, and I don't know if the Fox team, if they, you know, put together a tribute, but Bruce, I know that when, even in advance of the trades you know, noting Eddie's passing, there, you know, there was texting, you know, people were texting, you know, that Eddie had died, and you know, one of those people that virtually everybody around the racetrack knew. I mean, it's amazing, especially when we come to Saratoga, how, you know, how much you realize you know, the community and the, you know, the longevity of so many people that, you know, that come on the racetrack and never leave, essentially. And Eddie, you know, a perfect example of that.
Yeah, and just it was amazing how, you know, the amount of people that he knew and just from being around so long, and just nobody, you never heard anybody say a bad word about him. You know, everybody, no. You know, never, everybody had nothing but good things, and that's a pretty, you know, that's pretty strong in this business, you know, just to have that kind of reputation where nobody had a bad word to say about him.
No, exactly. Very much. Well, two Bruce Brown appearances in a couple of weeks. And since I do have you back, I am going to ask you the question that I forgot after we hung up, you know, 2 weeks ago talking about Robin Sparkles. The one question I wanted to ask you as well that I forgot was about the Lasix aspect and getting her off Lasix, Bruce, and you know, the concern or expectation and, you know, how you're dealing with it and with a horse like her when, you know, in this case, here she was looking for graded stake type, black type, and she had to come off.
Yeah, it definitely, you know, kind of throws a wrench in things just as far as how you lead up to the race, you know, just making sure that, you know, you treat her in her breezes and stuff before the race, just treat her appropriately and just make sure that she's totally, you know, totally, no, you know, mucus or infections, right? Just make sure everything in her airway is tip top shape, because you're not going to have the added, you know, you're not going to have the Lasix to kind of help you with that aspect. So you have to make sure you don't have any weak links in the armor, you know, and just hope that you can, you know, get her there good enough and she's good enough to where, even if maybe a little something were to happen, she's still good enough to get the job done, you know.
Well, because it really, between that race and the one at Monmouth, you had horses coming off and horses coming on, and you look and you have to get, I don't know if you just guess or you just put it out of your mind and just strictly, you know, try to utilize the PPs. But the problem with that is you see races. I mean, who was it? I think it was Maker's Horse, if I'm not mistaken, was 3 for 3. This was at Monmouth, right? Was it Army Wife? Was 3 for 3 on Lasix. And she was coming back on. So it's like, how do we incorporate this with any certainty or continuity? That's the frustration, I think, that players, and then, you know, the way you're having to deal with it is a whole, you know, separate topic.
Right. Yeah. It really just adds a whole nother level to things. It's just, you know, I can understand as a handicapper, it's just, what do you, you know, you really have to pay attention, especially that are just, you know, maybe just getting real good and then getting into stakes competition, and you don't know if they're going to carry, you know, carry that form, you know, into, you don't know if they're going to carry it into the
exactly.
stakes just because you don't know what's been going on with them, so.
Yeah, I had meant to ask you when we talked about Robin, and since we're talking about your Uncle Eddie, and so this is your, Ed, he was your father's brother?
No, he was, actually, I married, we have the same last name, but I married into the, my wife is Red Terrell's grandfather.
Right.
Granddaughter. He was, yeah, granddaughter. And so he's, you know, he married into the Terrell family, so it's all by marriage. There's a lot of Browns around, but not all of us are, you know, like me and Chad are both Browns, but we just, We were married. we were married to cousins, so we're not actually related. And I'm not actually related by blood to Eddie, but he definitely was. We were pretty close, and I definitely, you know, feel like I was. So.
I love it. Well, once you get into that family, that Terrell thing, it's you know, it's sort of like
there were a lot of them. There were a lot of them.
Yeah, it's kind of a tribe of between. But was there any? I don't know the answer to this. Have any Kellys intersected with any Terrells? That would be. I mean, that would be impossible for people to explain, you know, their cousins if Terrells married Kellys.
Yeah, yeah, that would be interesting.
I love it, Bruce. I should look here. Are you running today?
No, I'm not. I'll be over for Uncle Eddie's race, and then I'm actually
nice.
maybe doing some claiming later after that. But so I will be around, but nothing running.
Very good. Well, as we said, a nice win in the Caress, and she'll come back near the end of the meet. And you do have, we should mention on Saturday in the second, how about that Affilada?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I wasn't expecting, you know, usually a maiden claimer isn't a race you totally expect to see on a big day like that, but I think just they wanted to make sure they had some dirt races just with the possibility of maybe some rain in the forecast, but she's doing great. You know, I think it looks like her level, and I think she should be very, very competitive in there. Hopefully we can get our second win at the meet.
Well, and it's interesting because she's had a very good season. She's looking to break the maiden, but she's got 3 seconds and 2/3 in the 5 starts this year. She's okay as a 3-year-old, and just has to find some friends.
Yeah, exactly. She always runs good. She has a tendency to make. Last time she broke good, but she has had a tendency in the past to maybe not break real sharp. That's kind of gets herself with a lot to do, but I think 7/8 is perfect for her, and so hopefully she can kind of stay close enough to where she doesn't have to do too much to get there.
Bruce Brown, everybody, and Eddie Brown in the third race. If you see you'll see a I don't even know how they're going to take a picture. They're going to need a wide angle lens for everybody that is going to come down to. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a sea. It's going to be a sea of people for sure.
I wanted to make sure that everybody knew what it was about and knew about Eddie Brown. Thanks so much, Bruce. We'll see you later this afternoon.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Bruce Brown, everybody, and his Uncle Eddie. And it's funny because the horse that he ran, was it yet when Bruce ran that horse, that Uncle Bruce, was it yesterday or the other day that Uncle Bruce ran? It's too many, there's too much overlap, all the families. We will talk to Tom Law next and Seth Merrow, too. And I'm just trying as we're talking, I'm looking at some decisions for tickets. And the early pick 5, and I mentioned the DePaula play of the day, and I'm trying to give you, we'll see what Seth is going to do. It's got a starter allowance as the nightcap today, which is a little different. You know, I haven't placed that there. And there's actually the Oscar Barrera 8-1 shot in there. Oh, Gotten Girl. She's got my attention with the bug with Gomez. And I didn't think I certainly, you know, Miss Domina is good, and Freedom of the Press for Jim Ferraro. But I didn't think there was anybody all that scary. In fact, it's funny. Yesterday I tried the same thing too. I mean, there were favorites that looked, you know, okay. Nobody, that's why I called the card yesterday straightforward, and it played out that way. It really did. I mean, I you know, had a bunch of wins and had some nice in-race successes. That pick five, that irked me. You don't ever want to say, oh, I needed to get put up, but that one left a little bit of a bad taste. There's a very, is it me, or are we seeing too many? I'll ask this of Tom Law. The turf sprints, I don't mind them, but we also don't getting a steady diet of them, you know, a couple of them a day. The second today, that second race, if you haven't had a chance to dig into the pedigrees, there's some very good pedigrees on display in the second race today. And this is this happens to be a turf sprint, a little different, though, with two-year-olds where, you know, you're going to have to speculate. You're looking, when you look at the pedigrees and you look at the siblings and the dam in particular, looking for those that, you know, have got resumes that are dotted with plenty of sprint power, and there's a couple. There's also, for instance, there's a 10-to-1 shot, and I thought the fact that Kent Sweezy, brought illicit to Saratoga and with the express interest that he, you know, Kent is based essentially at Monmouth, and you know, he brought a few, and the fact that he brought this expensive Into Mischief, this is Robert Evans and Joe Allen, the kind of a buyback that Evans bred, $525,000 at OBS in April, Into Mischief out of a Lemon Drop Kid mare, Squeeze, who was fast. And so Illicit, I thought, had a little hint of speed. And so I've used Illicit. I'm absolutely using her 10-to-1. But then there's a pedigree. When you look at a horse like, Gustiamo, and this is a homebred of Bob Spiegel's, a Blame out of the Spitestown mare Steamy, which makes this one, a half to Vision Perfect, who of course David trained to success and, stakes wins. So, now, granted, that was a turf stake winner, but going long. So there's no guarantee that, you know, that Gustiamo is going to be fast early, essentially, is what you wonder. So some of those hints. How about the horse on the rail for Grand Motion today? This is a Brary Jones homebred that Sal Kumin is involved in with Matticat. And in fact, Matticat and Brary Jones are listed as the owners. This is a filly by the name of Pelota Sisters. And Pelota Sisters is out of Biofuel, who you may remember Reed Baker trained for Brary Jones, and she also was a stake winner, but again, not necessarily going short. So, kind of decisions you got to make. But there's some nice pedigrees on display here in this second race, and I ended up actually going to a horse that has had multiple chances, which is a little surprising. I was actually surprised myself. I put that Coichin for Stone Street on top, the Kodiak filly, who's been second and third in her first two starts. And I usually, actually cost me yesterday in the early, in the front half of the day. There was that Sousa Summer, who for some reason I was not enamored with, and it cost me the early the early multis. I hear Tom Law in the background. Tom, I'm just doing some handicapping conversations. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Steve?
We're good. We're good. Thanks for last week. You brought Chapazian around, and Seth, you guys held court.
I heard. Yeah, I haven't been on. This is the first time I've been on since the meet started, I think, with you.
Is that possible?
I think. Maybe I was on very early, but yeah, I was on with, I brought our interns on, our new guys.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's
Tennessee.
Right.
That's right. It might even have been before opening day, right? And they were just getting started. Now they're really rolling. They're doing a
nice.
Great job for us so far. Yeah, we're happy with it, with their performance.
Well, and how are they? How long can they stay? You were worried about losing personnel mid August.
Yeah, it's an annual hurdle, but one we know is there on the track when we step on it. But it's we're losing one. Spencer's going back to Penn State on the 13th, so he'll miss Four Star Dave Day. Basically, will be his last day, and then. Timothy goes back to Marquette on the 20th, so Alabama Day. So that the 20th is usually around when we usually lose them. They're always swimming in a sea of regret that they're missing the Travers every year. I think our guys are going to miss that. They're going to be watching the Naira feed at home back at college and be bummed out that they're not in the winner's circle, hanging out in the paddock and hitting the barn area in the morning. But they still got a little stretch to go before they're off the hook and back to college land, and we're really this is sales week for us, so we're really working them pretty good right now. They're getting a true taste of the Saratoga Special intern experience this week.
Nice. Well, I see them. I see them waiting to talk to trainers and get their stories in by the winner's circle. So this is a busy. Well, obviously for the sale week and with Whitney Day, this is a big. Mm-hmm. This is probably the biggest stretch. No,
it is. Yeah, it totally is. You know, we normally do the two papers a week schedule, which we've been doing since opening day, and then we'll start a six days in a row run. It starts tomorrow with the Hall of Fame ceremony, Hall of Fame stakes, obviously. Don't forget Golden Pal and the Troy. And then we go right on through. So we'll have Whitney Day, day after the Whitney Sunday, kind of previewing some sales stuff. And then, of course, the Fasig Tipton sales on Monday and Tuesday. And then we're right back again on Wednesday with the sale recap. And then the kind of the start of, I guess, week five. On the tenth of August, so that feels like a long ways away right now. But as you know, in Saratoga, I heard you make a reference a little while ago about there's just so many days, there's so much overlap. Next thing you know, it's August 10th or it's August 13th, and then the Travers, which is it's crazy to think it's not that far away, but so still a few weeks. So. But yeah, this is our home. It's not our home stretch, but we're definitely climbing up to the highest part of the mountain right now, to use a bad cliche, I guess.
Well, no, we've got a Saturday that the Whitney. You don't necessarily want. One race to just completely overwhelm. This is the argument against the big days when there's too many. When there's mm-hmm. it's only five stakes, mm-hmm. quote unquote. It's not Travers Day per se, but this confrontation and I'm gonna go look through some Whitney charts and try to find five horses in one Whitney that come in as accomplished as the five headliners here.
Yeah, it's a great group without a doubt. It takes me back to like. Not too far back, but you go maybe Honor Code, Liam's Map, if I have it right. Yeah. But they weren't quite at this level in terms of accomplishment at that point. It's cool to have Hot Rod Charlie here. And Olympiad has done nothing wrong this year. I mean, just lights out, and they're not even the two favorites. You know, that goes to Life is Good, who Saratoga fans will remember from the Jerkins last year. Gave Jackie's Warrior all he could handle in the Jerkins, finishing second in his comeback race. You know, he hadn't run in so long. And then he comes back and runs this year in another comeback race last time out in a sprint. You know, I love sort of throwbacky kind of horse where you run him long, and then when you have him come on the comeback trail, you sprint him 7/8, kind of like Carl Masker would do with Unbridled back in the day, you know.
He's yep.
running 7/8 races and beating Housebuster. You know, the good ones can do it at almost any distance. And he's certainly proven that. And then the way the track, you know, you hear a lot of, I talk to a lot of trainers, a lot of them have been talking about how the track's been kind of demanding and tiring. And, you know, you look at a horse like Happy Saver in here who loves, probably is going to love the added distance and the grinded out kind of style of race. You know, he hasn't won in a while. But he's a real classy horse. He's the only one, I guess, him and Zoomer, I guess, haven't earned $1 million, which is hard to believe that he hadn't earned $1 million, considering he won the Jockey Cup Gold Cup and been on the board in so many of these grade ones. But he is certainly a very capable potential upsetter. Gets in, you know, gets 6 pounds from Life is Good, gets 4 pounds from Olympiad. It is still a handicap, which is, you know, a lot of people take their knocks on handicaps, but I guess it's not a handicap. I guess it is. I'm wrong. It's not a handicap, but it kind of the weights are a little different for the horses based on the conditions, the allowance conditions. But a good one. You know, I didn't even mention American Revolution, New York bred, you know, third race off a layoff. His first race kind of jammed him in there. They wanted to run it in a New York bred race, ended up running in the Blaine instead at Churchill, and then, you know, came back with a real never quit race in the Foster against Olympiad, so he meets him again. Yeah, the Whitney.
Yeah.
I mean, the Whitney. The big cards are, you know, I don't like them personally. I'd rather a race like the Glen Falls, which is on the undercard. Why couldn't that race be on a Wednesday or a Thursday? The horses that are in there can showcase themselves. And I know it's a weekday, but it's Saratoga weekday. You know, and I was talking the other day to somebody, Sean, and I think we're talking, and I was like, Saratoga should make it a point to let's run a graded race every single day of the meet. They have enough of them to do it, and I think that would be cool. They'd be the only track in America that does that every day. And, I mean, we're already the only track in America that does X and Y and Z. Why not add that, too?
No, I agree. I hearken back, I'm certainly not somebody that, you know, is, you know, doing the yesteryear, you know, halcyon days, sepia tone. I like having the, you know, a grade at stake on every, you know, on virtually every day. That was part of, you know, showing up. Yeah, when you showed up here on, you know, you know, when you couldn't come 35 mm-hmm. of the 40 days, I mean, when you would come 2-3 times a year, a season, and you'd show up and there'd be, you know, mm-hmm. a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Monday graded stake. It's just, that's part of the appeal.
Yeah, and I get it. I mean, I guess there's business, these are business decisions that are being made, you know, but there was something cool about the test stakes on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, and they've done it. They've shifted some of the stuff a little bit, which I think the schedule is a little nicer in that regard. You know, there's some better Sundays now. You know, there's some greater races during the weeks, the Lake George and the Honorable Miss, and you know, the first Friday of the meet and things like that. But you know, it's the Ballerina on the Sunday after the Traverse. It's kind of cool to get that off of, you know, the log jam. But it's, you know, it's a shame that, you know, you'll have a horse, whoever's going to win the Forego, the Sword Dancer, the Alan Jerkins, or the Personal Ensign. I think about it from our standpoint, like, man, one of those horses should be on the cover of the special. And you got no shot. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be the Travers winner, and that's it. So, and then, you know, that's a lot of a lot of the, some of the reason why we do two papers a week now. You know, I mean, think about if we were to have a paper today, we would have had to, we would have been forced to cover yesterday with the same amount of news space that we have for Whitney Day or something. I mean, in that, that card yesterday had the Kaiser, it was a nice jump race, and we're going to cover it in tomorrow's paper. We would have been stuck covering allowance races, and we're going to cover those anyway. We're going to write about them. But, you know,
that's
to
true.
Give that a full issue, that's tough, you know. And,
I hear it.
You know, we made that decision several years ago when we started looking at it, of what we can do to improve our product, you know, and I think it's worked. I think our Wednesday papers are really strong. People get, we get great feedback from them, covering the races on the weekends, and then, you know, doing our big preview issues or Saturdays. So it's a good mix, I think.
Well, let's get, before I reach for Seth, let's get a couple of opinions and give everybody an update. I think I got it right. You and Shabazian chasing Chuck Bedard.
Yeah, well, actually, it's funny you say that. I was way behind early. You know, the
yeah, you got down early.
Carried over, you know, from last year. I was struggling. I was three for the first 3 days. And at one point, Shabazian had me 16-8. And then, you know, he was taking me to the woodshed pretty good. And then Charles Bedard actually spurted away from Shabazian and was in the lead for a little while. John has since kind of picked it up, and I've picked it up a little bit. So now we have basically a three-way battle. It's special. Charles and John are both tied at the top with 45, and I'm three back with 42. And that includes, I had a bad day on Sunday. And then I kind of got a couple back on those guys again yesterday. So I'm hoping to keep that rolling, you know. I need to slice into their lead a little bit.
There you go.
As far as races today, like I really like Phil Bauer's horse in the third. She's going to be kind of a short price. Played hard. But I do think Bill Mott's Philly Millifuel, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that wrong.
Milfay.
All right, there we go. I like her, too. So, I mean, I guess they're both against the Chad Brown favorite. You know, I like those. I like both those horses in the same, wish they weren't the same race. But that's how it goes here sometimes.
I picked W.W. Fitzy.
Oh, did you? Yeah, okay.
Yep.
That's a good pick in there. No, I like that horse. Shabazian liked that horse a little bit. He tells me that, what did he tell me? He likes five in the first race. Shabazian was on the, we were supposed to have him on. He couldn't come on today.
That's all right. We'll get him.
Listeners. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get him. I think he likes five horse first race. That's what he told me. A Sicilian grandma. Oh, he picked the horse. He was like, he told me, all the wise guys say this. I'm like, well, who's the wise guys? You? So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I like Bye Bye in the seventh. Christoph.
So do I.
Rosario. Yeah. Nice, you know, nice filly, into Mr. Filly. Turf Sprint. I heard you talk about Turf Sprints earlier. I'm, there's way too many of those.
Am I wrong? Yeah, no. We're getting a few too many, aren't we?
I think so. You know, but I mean, I've talked about this with some of my colleagues. You know, the horsemen like it because they can run horses in there that maybe aren't very good. That'll finish sixth, seventh, eighth, get beat 2 1/4 length, and go back to their owners and say, man, we only got beat 2 1/4 length. Versus you go 1 1/8 on the dirt or 7/8 on the dirt and your horse is highly suspect, and you might get beat 10-15 lengths. You got to go back to the owner and say, well, maybe we got to do, you know, this next. It's a lot easier to, you know, you hear people talk all the time. We only got beat 3 lengths for all of it. And I was like, where'd you finish, 10? Yeah. That's why. That's why turf sprints are popular to me. That's the way I see it. But, yeah, I'm not a huge fan. I mean, it's fine at certain places, and I know if they're here to stay, but, you know, I guess. I hold my nose.
What did you do?
What did you do in the ninth, which even with Chad's horse coming out, good governance, I thought that this was a really, in a lot of ways, I mean, the stake is okay. Mystic Knight, Val Harbor, Chess Chief, King Fury Scratched, Art Collector, and Mask Parade.
To
put Chad in there, Mystic Knight. But what did you do with the ninth?
Well, I wish Chad didn't come out, because actually he was taking money. I like Floriform. Bill Mott with Rosario ran a good race last time, Sifting Sands. Emirati is, of course, back in this same race. He's a capable horse, doesn't seem to win a lot, but he's always he's kind of a good judge. When you look at him in a race, he was just a little bit behind him. And I like the Tone. Who was 5-2? He's probably going to end up being now. He's going to be the favorite for Maker. But I'm Floriform. You know, good fourth flat in the Arlington Arlington race, Arlington Stakes down there at Churchill. So can't get used to staying that. And just, you know, ran another good race in the Stakes at Tampa. I like him. He probably won't be much of a price, but now that there's a scratch, but.
Well, no, he's 6-1 or 9-2, and so you know, I don't think he's going. I don't think he's going much below 4-1. The money will spread out.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Not, and it's not like Chad was going to be a huge favorite in there. You know,
not at all. A tone was. Yeah, it's got to work out a trip. Of course, now gets to move in one slot. I picked By Land and Sea, even Bye Bye Melvin. What about Bye Bye Melvin coming back after the year layoff, and for Grand Motion, if he comes back running, he's competitive. It's a very fun, you know, and turf miles are generally run at a pretty frenetic pace potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So this I thought was okay.
Yeah, good race. You know, really good. Big Everest even. You know.
Yep, Big Everest is involved. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Tom, I appreciate it. We will see you in the winner's circle.
Yeah, sounds great. I hope I'm on top of the handicapping race here in the special the next time we talk.
Well, you got a long way to go, and maybe you're better off stalking the pace this year, not getting a lead.
Let's hope. That's all. Well, I definitely, after the start I got, there's no chance of getting in the lead, early at least.
There you go.
Sounds
Tom
good.
Law, everybody. Thank you, buddy. Saratoga TL and Saratoga Special and the whole team. Seth Merrow is going to circle in, and we'll close out the morning. I want some opinions from Seth as well. This is a tough there's a couple of very tough, not so much identifying contenders. The challenge today, and I just put up the first half of the card. I put up the pick five, pick four ideas, and I didn't spend a whole lot on the front half of the card. And I'll have, as soon as I get off the air, I'll repost again with the late ideas. The ticket building exercise today is a little tricky because there are. You know, yesterday I felt very confident, you know, going too deep in a lot of spots and, you know, just to get through and you know, feeling like we'd have the winner. The one place that tripped up a little bit was, what was it, credit? Was it credit account? Right? Charge account. In that good 25 claimer. You know, charge account I had under, you know, as an underneath horse as a, no, I think as the fourth choice. So they left that one off. That hurt. Today there's, you know, a race like the fourth, 25 non-3, Voice of Spring. I picked Valorand, and now I ended up not scratching into Voice of Spring, but I ended up at 5-1. I put Voice of Spring on top. But My Sweet Wife, who I think is... is okay. Alpine Queen is okay. Neither of them, the two favorites, have to win. Refinity could wire this. Can't Refinity wire this field with Manny for Michelle G and Julio? So we'll see what Seth's thoughts are. We talked about the two-year-old group. So as we wait for Seth, let me slip in some of the other news items. One thing that really kind of took people by surprise this week, a couple of days ago now, the word came on Tuesday that Jose Ortiz had hired Steve Rushing, who represents his brother, making Rushing, the absolute two-headed monster in terms of being a jock agent. It is hard to understand what Jimmy Riccio did wrong for Jose Ortiz to move on. And that's what everybody was basically agreeing that. I mean, Jose's won more grade ones already this year. Six last year, he won seven the whole year. He's won six so far this year. It's very. We've talked before with, and I'm sure Rich Migliori will have some comments on this when we talk next week. And Johnny can talk to this too when we talk next week. But this one, this raised a bunch of eyebrows the last couple of days at the track. So. I mean, I'm sure take his time and, you know, he's find somebody that he'll do well with. He did a great job with Jose for a bunch of years. If you hadn't heard, by the way, I'm sure Dave Grenig, maybe tomorrow when Dave talks about the weekend, he'll slip it in. But for those that, you know, we're dumping all over the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and let's be honest, it has been a negative key race, essentially, going forward. But Corniche shed his frog, which is not pleasant for any horse. That could have very much contributed. So he's got to sit out and let it heal. The frog, of course, the pad, the rough pad that is in the interior. It's a very important. It's kind of a living organism. I mean, horses' feet are a complex part of their anatomy on what are very complex animals in general. Seth Merrow. Seth Merrow is a complex animal. Seth, good morning.
I am kind of complex. In a simple kind of way. I'm sitting back here on the TV set, and I thought I was relaxed today. I went jacketless because of at 9 o'clock when we started this morning on OTB TV, it was nice. But I knew by 11 when I wrapped up it would get hot, and it has gotten hot. But I thought I was relaxed with just the tie on, no coat. I'm watching the pregame, the NYRA pregame, Andy and Stabile, no coat, no tie. Talk about summer casual.
Wow. Wow, that's a shocker.
I know. Yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, I'm Andy's usually stalwart. It's hard to Yeah, he's like a Jewish Alf Vanderbilt.
I stepped it up today compared to Andy. Yeah, how about that? With the tie, I just step up today.
That's too funny. All right, we've got 6 minutes. I want to handicap with you a little bit because I'm doing the late pick four, pick five. Before actually we handicap, what was your opinion? Because you're a very reasonable steward, judge of the stewards. What was your opinion yesterday in that eighth?
That was closer than I think people gave it credit for, just because I think the really egregious part of it was right at the wire. But I probably would have tilted slightly towards coming down, because the horse did come out about four paths. But then the real bump was really right at the wire. So that was, I think, closer than people maybe gave it credit for, but I probably would have tilted slightly towards coming down.
I agree, and I, you know, it's funny when it happened, and they were showing the pan and the head on, and actually was watching it with Callie Francois, who is a writer, and we were talking, and she said, "Yeah, this is a DQ, isn't it?" And I said, "I certainly think so, but around here, herding is permissible, and you never know." Well, then it basically went about. You know, the period of time that makes you think, okay, they're going to take this horse down. And then it went too long, and I turned to her and I said, they're leaving this horse up.
Yeah.
And I knew when it went 6 minutes, I said, forget it. This horse is staying up, and it's complete bullshit, but this has been going on forever, and if they don't take horses like that down, guys are going to continue to herd. So that's the complaint. And yes, it probably cost me, you know, $1,200 or $1,300 between the pick four and pick five. Seth, let's dive into this because I thought there were some really fun races today that had a lot of potential winners. So I wouldn't mind you, you know, dotting some spots.
Well, I'll toss out, first of all, my dark horse play of the day, brought to you by the Dark Horse Mercantile in downtown Saratoga. I had the proprietors on this morning as they're sponsoring the play of the day, which I give out every morning on the show, and they're doing a little win, place, and show on the horses and donating the proceeds to the TRF, so that's nice. But my dark horse play of the day was in race two, number nine, Illicit. Bite Into Mischief, worked 9.4 before the Ocala sale. There's the lone racing sibling so far has raced seventh and then third, a horse named Chickasaw, so there wasn't much on the bottom side, but I thought the 9.4 work, the big price of Ocala, Into Mischief on top, 10-1 price. I went with race number two, number nine, Illicit, as my price today.
Well, and I talked about Illicit, actually, while we were waiting for you. There's reason to believe. I mean, Sweezy picked spots, and this was an expensive purchase, and brought this one over from Monmouth. The dam was fast. Squeeze, she was speedy. I won't argue with that. But it is a bit of a murky bunch, actually, in a lot of ways. And of course, the turf sprint, you know, if a horse doesn't break, they're in trouble. Okay, what about the other 2-year-old race? What'd you do in the sixth?
I debated making that my play of the day race. I went with New York Panther for Todd Pletcher, so we're looking 5-2 there. I always like horses a couple of sprints and then stretching out, and this horse improved nicely on the move to turf last time. So all of those things put together, I went with the Pletcher, Mike Dubb and Company, New York Panther on top. But Secretary of War and Provision, the 2 and the 3, I thought were both interesting at prices. Secretary of War, War Dancer doesn't knock it out of the park. The first-time starters so far this year, first-time starters from War Dancer, 27 of them, one winner, a couple of seconds, and 8 thirds. So they're okay numbers. But you look at Jonathan Thomas and all the appropriate categories, he does very well. There was a sibling called Not About the Nail, took 4 starts to win, but in the first 8 starts had 4 wins. So I thought there was a little bit of a winning profile on the bottom side. So Secretary of War 8-1 is interesting, and Provision by Golden Sense. I really like Golden Sense first-time starters. George Weaver, Luis Saez at 10-1 on the morning line. That one's interesting to me, too. I put the 5 at the bottom of my mix, and that's 6. That, with the 2 and the 3 expected prices, I'll do a little exacta box in here with the 8, 2, 3, and 5.
All right. I've got a completely different view of this, but
and it's that kind of race. The Linda Rice runner on the outside, twirling Charlie, you can make a case there. It's an interesting race. That's why I'm going to box them up. I think there will be a price potential in there.
Yeah, the George Abreu first or two, Lachey's, and I thought Who Me was eligible on the rail on the stretch out. So there's some interesting things going on, and it starts the late pick five, which then gets us to, let's talk about the ninth before we run out of time, which is that excellent, excellent mile turfer on the inner third level allowance.
Yeah, and I will say I'm not super confident because you can point to a lot in here, but I went 2, 1, 5, and 9. I put a tone on top. I thought, you know, at the first or last few races, they were in Stakes Company. The Maker's Mark Mile, I thought, was a pretty good performance. It was a fourth-place finish, but a pretty good run. The two subsequent placings in Stakes, I think, moves into this, you know, non-winners a three optional claimer, but, you know, the Stakes quality performers. But I'll tilt slightly in that direction. Emirati off the race last time, the seasonal debut, I think is going to be tough. And Floriform, who was just behind Emirati last time, I think could also be a player. But as I say, I could point to another two or three others and probably have the same level of confidence. I saw you took a little pop in here with your play of the day today. I'm not going to argue against that one either, but I went 2-1-5-9.
All right, by land and sea is my the Paula play at 8-1. And it'll be interesting to see how the money spreads out, as we mentioned earlier with Tom Law about good governance scratching. The eighth, quickly, the Aladar, what'd you do in there?
5-6-1-2. I got Art Collector, but I'm not going to argue anybody takes a shot against off the last two. I didn't know what to do, but I thought this horse could get back to a better number. It doesn't have to get back to the best numbers. I think it can go back a little bit from what we saw in the better numbers last year. And given that this horse won this race last year, I couldn't get past that one. But Mask of Parade and Mystic Knight, I think, are both very intriguing in here as well.
Seth Merrill, everybody, Equidaily.com, Capital OTB, and people can look forward to Sunday, where one of our, it'll be Whitney Recap, but it's also going to feature one of our most popular pair of guests, Duke and Paul Matisse, on Sunday on Loose on the Lead. So, do not miss Loose on the Lead, and of course you can see Seth. You can see Seth Wednesday through Sunday on Capital OTB. You can see him at nights at Desperate Annie's. And you see him all over the racetrack. Stop him and say hello. And it is, oh, it's Low Roller. Low Roller Thursday as well. Thanks to Seth, Tom Law, and Bruce Brown, remembering his Uncle Eddie. Today a third race. And Seth as well, we got right. And Sid Fernando. Sorry, watch Pedigree Focus. Brought to you by Hill and Dale. Weekend preview at the races tomorrow, probably live from the track. All right? Good luck, everybody. I'll get the final second half of the card plays up shortly. Brought to you in the morning.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Betting on. How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full-service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.